going to be the final verse of Cantuki chapter 16, text numbers 37. Message is real simple, straightforward, and hard to learn. Accepting reverses is Prabhupada's language. So this is Brahma speaking to the demigods. He calls them his sons. Some of them are. Some of them are sons of his sons and so on. The beginning of the chapter is there's this darkness everywhere in the whole universe, and they didn't, as controllers of the universe, they didn't cause it. They want to know, what's this? And it's giant Vijay falling to the material world, coming as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu in the womb of Diti. And he says, Brahma says to the demigods, "My dear sons, the Lord is the controller of the three modes of nature and is responsible for the creation, preservation, and dissolution of the universe. His wonderful creative power, Yogamaya, cannot be easily understood even by the masters of yoga." Yogamaya can't be understood by the masters of yoga easily. That most ancient person, the personality of Godhead, will alone come to our rescue. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on this subject? And purport. When something is arranged by the Supreme Personality and Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it, even if it appears to be a reverse according to one's calculation. For example, sometimes we see that a powerful creature is killed, or sometimes he's put into difficulty, just as Haridas Thakur was. He was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories. But Haridas Thakur was punished at the hands of Kazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and Prahlad Maharaj was put through so many tribulations. The Pandavas, who were direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom, their wife is insulted, and they had to undergo many severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters, there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as the grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve the Lord, even in reverse conditions, is assured that he will go back to Godhead, back to the Vaikuntha planets. Lord Brahma assured the demigods that there was no use talking about how the disturbing situation of darkness was taking place, since the actual fact was that it was ordered by the Supreme Lord. Brahma knew this because he was a great devotee. It was possible for him to understand the plan of the Lord. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports, third canto, 16th chapter. the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Jaya Vijaya, cursed by the sages. This is Vaikuntha. This is happening in Vaikuntha. And we're not Vaikuntha. Reverses, in this case, happening even in Vaikuntha. And then in the region of the demigods. And we're not in the region of the demigods either. So, one appreciation of how Srimad Bhagavatam gives lessons or makes points very clear is taking things to extreme conditions so that we can understand the stark reality and the message within that reality. So, message that we're to receive, Prabhupada has made it really clear, even in, so he says, in reverses according to our calculation. It's like we're going along the path of life and things are quite normal and we're anticipating the next moment is also going to be quite normal, just continue to proceed in the same path, and then all of a sudden we're going in the opposite direction. It's one way of describing a reversal. Like you're going forward and all of a sudden you're going in reverse, all of a sudden. So what happened? Or, the other way he's using the term reversal and illustrating it by what happened to the Pandavas and what happened to Prahlad Maharaj and what happened to Haridas Thakur. So that's not just exactly reversal in the same sense, it's something awful. How do bad things happen to good people? Question. Not only good people, perfect persons. How do bad things happen to perfect persons? And the question is asked so often. Sometimes it's in terms of oneself, sometimes in terms of somebody they know. Like, they were such a good person. How could such a bad thing happen to such a good person? They always and then did good and helped people and were kind, and their whole life was just like that. And this awful thing happened to them. How could that happen? For some, it's explicit. They say, "How can God exist, or how can God be kind if He lets these things? Because He's all good and He's all powerful. He could have made it different and He made it this way. So what's wrong with Him?" Or just become atheist. There must be no God because something bad happened to a good person. There's variations on the theme, but it's a theme, and it can happen in our life where suddenly we don't know where it came from. And then something happens, and it could be a prolonged something like chronic health or something. And if we're not mature in Krishna consciousness, it can damage our faith, deteriorate our faith, turn our faith upside down. It can cause like lots of turmoil. And at least to the person whose faith is weak, to hear it's the inexplicable action of the Lord and we can't understand His plan. To a person of weak faith, that's not satisfying. But to a reader of the Bhagavatam, it's where the position of shelter is. It can be small things, medium things, or big things. As I was describing at the MIT program, just to get from Minneapolis to Boston, it was either a nightmare or a comedy of errors of all the things that happened. Without the detail, but anyway. As soon as I got to the check-in counter, the lady said, "Oh, you're flying to Chicago. Let me see your ID." And she put me on another plane. She looked at me and said, "It's about to leave in 5 minutes, but there's weather in Chicago, so they're going to be 20 minutes late. Just go straight to the gate." I thought, why is she doing that? You know, the flight was scheduled to leave at 7:30. She put me on a flight at 6:42. And I was, to get there in 5 minutes. Maybe she knows it's really close, and it wasn't really close. And I got to the gate, and the lady at the gate didn't even look up. She just, looking at her computer and said, "The plane left, but you can go to gate 12, and there's a flight to Newark, and you can get on that flight." Didn't even look up. So I went to gate 12. There's nobody at gate 12. No attendant. And so, anyway. Went to use the bathroom and came back, and somebody was there, and they said, "Oh, it's 5 minutes. So it's gate 3. I went to gate 3, and they had already closed the gate. And the attendant wasn't there. Anyway, it was like thing after thing. He wasn't there because he was sealing off the plane, closing the door and all that. Then he came back up and said, "Oh, the plane left. Maybe I can get you on the one back at gate 12. They're going to Cleveland." And he said, "But there isn't a connection. You can get you on the plane to Cleveland, but there isn't a connection to go on to Boston until later. But you can try for standby for the earlier flight, but it looks pretty full." And it gave me, some choices. So that was the choice that I had. And so I said, "Okay. Guaranteed flight out." "Yeah, okay." Anyway, just a thing after thing. Delay after. So, what do you do? Start complaining? Or the airlines is bad? And other factors were involved also. So that's a really small thing. Those things happen all the time. I mean, in India, it's 10 times different. So in fact, that's one of the appreciations of visiting India. One learns patience. Because there isn't a choice. Not just in, air travel, it's just in everything. Everything takes forever. Trains and everything. So, we're in the material world, not in the heavenly region, nor in Vaikuntha. And we're here because of our past deeds. Here we are. And things aren't according to our calculation, how they should be. And now, how do you live happily? There's some plan. And the overall plan of just being in the material world, where there's birth, death, disease, and old age, or any other thing you want to look at in the material world, that's undesirable, unpleasant. Why shouldn't it be desirable and pleasant? Or why must it be undesirable and unpleasant? There's a purpose. minimally, the purpose is we don't belong here. It's not a nice place. It's not meant to be a nice place. It's not a nice place. We don't belong here. So what do? Act in such a way that you work your way towards where you belong. And there's a means to do that. So you focus on that. The higher purpose is service to the personality of Godhead. And when circumstances are not very conducive to serving nicely, then again, part of the message is this isn't a nice place to do service. But we can still do service of some kind. Maybe not the service of our choice, but service of some kind in practically any circumstance. As Haridas Thakur Christ and Prahlad Maharaj and the other Pandavas did, show an example. Here's how you deal with adversity. That service. And stay fixed upon the personality of Godhead. Something that I plan on speaking about this evening at the temple is, part of it is that the passage from the first canto where Prikshit Maharaj receives news of the curse. First is he understood, I've made a big mistake. I made an offense, a big offense, and I'm going to get a reaction. So I'm prepared mentally. I'm prepared to accept it. And then when he gets the news, he could have tried to do different things to counteract the curse or something or other. He didn't. He just accepted it and moved on. And to understand the plan of the Lord in why he did what he did and why he was cursed the way that he was cursed, inordinately, grossly excessive reaction or punishment, he accepted. He states that the Lord is very kind. He understood my attachment to family life, and he's giving me the opportunity to become relieved of that attachment. The Lord is very kind. I mean, there was yet another purpose and primary purpose, so that the Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to a qualified person such as Maharaj Prikshit. That was the Lord's plan. And it wasn't like, okay, well, Prikshit Maharaj is dispensable, so we'll just use him up and then, you know, next. It wasn't utilitarian on the Lord's part. It was, he went back to Godhead. Just from being absorbed in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. Of course, that event could have been orchestrated by the Lord in some other way. But there's no fault of the Lord to orchestrate it the way that he orchestrated it. Nor did Prikshit Maharaj consider like that, nor should we consider like that. And that's the message in the purport. How do we view seeing all these reverses affect devotees? One should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, this is in the case of really, really, really elevated personalities. There's an explicit plan. Now what about those of us that aren't so elevated? What's the plan? It mentioned minimally, we don't belong here. And to induce us to go to the position where we do belong. And the pain of those situations, or the unreconcilable grief of those situations has to do with the fundamental thing of not accepting the Supreme Lord and his at his position. Our feelings and our take on things would change radically if there was a clear shelter and sense of dependence upon the personality of Godhead. Just like these little things that we've been mentioning from traveling here. One could look upon them one way, and one could look upon them in another way. I don't know what Krishna's plan was exactly. Maybe for me to interact, at least one, to interact with the Buddhist gentleman who was helping me at one stage of the game and said, are you a Buddhist monk? And that exchange, because he's from Southeast Asia and knew something about Buddhism. And then another man, I was thinking this specifically, as the man at the counter that when the Newark flight had left, he was really helpful. And someone who is service-minded, to connect that service-mindedness to a Vaishnava, not like I'm something special, but just because here is a Vaishnava, now he can take that, join that service propensity with a service to a Vaishnava. Maybe that was Krishna's plan. Just that one thing, to begin his devotional service beyond being a pious man that likes to serve people. Maybe. But whatever it is, I don't, even sitting here today, can't say I know what that plan is. But whatever the purpose was, Krishna can move me on his chessboard however he likes. It's fine. Let me be one of Krishna's pieces on his chessboard. Let me serve him at his discretion. Two other things. Brahma is, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, because Brahma was a great devotee, it was possible for him to understand the plan of the Lord. So we may not be great devotees, we may not understand the plan of the Lord. Going back above, we should at least accept there must be a plan. Don't be disturbed, you don't know the plan. If you don't know the plan, it may have something to do with you're not qualified, like Brahma is qualified. Now, contrasting this, Bhishma Dev, in the 9th chapter of the 1st canto, says, no one can understand the plan of the Lord, so don't even try. Here it's kind of saying that, but it's going beyond, if you're a great devotee, you can understand. So, rather than trying to understand the plan of the Lord, we should try to become qualified devotees, and then we could, however much he wants us to understand, we can understand. And last point. In addition to saying, that it's the plan of the Lord, and he personally, because it's his plan, he's personally going to come to the rescue, you can say that he understood that intuitively, or he understood that explicitly by revelation. His final point is, what purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on the subject? So, what does a devotee want to do? A devotee wants to do something that's of service to the Supreme Lord. So what service does speculating? Why? I mean, it may be an interesting subject, but why something happens. In some cases, certainly it's valuable if we have a lesson to learn. But just asking the question, why is the sky blue, or why is there darkness instead of light, or it's interesting. But it's not, what's the word? Fundamental or essential. Look, there are some things that are fundamental and essential for us to progress in spiritual life. There are other things They're interesting, but not fundamental and essential. So, it's in some cases, it's sufficient to know there's a plan, and the plan will unfold. Be patient. Go on with those things that you do know. Try to perfect your spiritual life, your Krishna consciousness, and whatever the plan is of the Lord is, it's going to play itself out anyway. Whether you know the plan or don't know the plan, it's going to play itself out. So, be Krishna conscious. Don't obsess over what's the plan or why is this happening. Continue with those things that are clear. And then other things will become clear that aren't presently clear by the Lord's arrangement. Now that's a nice topic to discuss. When the challenge comes, it's another thing. But at least there's shelter in the form of these nice Puranic descriptions, Bhagavata descriptions, and instructions in relation to those descriptions of how great devotees deal with reversals. So when we hit a patch of reversal in our life, or someone dear and near to us, how to pass through that situation in a Krishna conscious way. We're being provided some tools for that. Hare Krishna. Discussion.
Guru Maharaj, I was wondering, like for a small child, like 10-year-old, 14-year-old, like for them, like moving, if their parents are moving to another place, that itself seems to be a reversal to them, that they're leaving a part of what they were familiar with and going into something uncertain. So how to, give support to such kind of a situation.
You're thinking of a particular situation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're a family. You know, if it's someone else, you're a family. And we stay together. And so your father's occupation requires that he's in some other place, or the family goes to some other place. There's some opportunity to serve Krishna in some other place that Krishna is arranging. We may not know what that arrangement is. We may like it over here, and we don't know what's over there. But Krishna has some service, whether here or there. And if Krishna has some service there, then it's there. Now, probably your family considered, oh, we want to stay here, but just that wasn't Krishna's plan. It wasn't working out. Well, we accept Krishna's plan, and as a family, we stay together. Maybe Krishna has some service for you. Maybe there's some young people over there that are ready for Krishna consciousness, and you're supposed to deliver it to them by example and prasadam, your friendship, you know, engage them in devotional things. It's a big adventure. Let's see what Krishna reveals. But trust that, you know, that it's you're in Krishna's care. Depends on the family and the situation. That's one kind of response.
This section of Bhagavatam seems to be quite interesting.
It's very interesting.
Paints specifically quite interesting aspect of Vaikuntha, like some purports before Srila Prabhupada wrote that there is anger in Vaikuntha, there is committing of offenses in Vaikuntha, and then today we are learning there is reverses in Vaikuntha. And then we are also taught that the Vaikuntha means it should be completely free from all miseries. I was just trying to understand like how we can put all of these together.
Several things. That the reversal is, according to our calculation, that which is the plan of the Lord is not a reversal. As far as anger is concerned, there's Narottam Das Thakur says all things can be used in Krishna's service, and so like anger, giving Hanuman. So in this case, however, the anger seems on the one hand, well, it's not it seems, it's explicitly stated that on the one hand it was the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, not the other kind of anger. And then it's also explicitly stated the opposite, that that anger was not appropriate because Jai and Vijay were faultless. But so then, in that case, it's also the plan of that which is not appropriate, but it happened anyway, is the plan of the Lord. And then there's another earlier purport that makes a distinction between outside the gates of Vaikuntha and in Vaikuntha. And this was specific about the four Kumaras came to Vaikuntha, and but it says once you go to Vaikuntha you don't come back, and they went back. So and then at least one part of the purport says, well, they weren't in Vaikuntha, they were at the gate of Vaikuntha, and they went back. So, in short, where there's a direct, not a karmic reaction, kind of, you know, the field of the material energy acting on the conditioned soul, but when there's a direct will of the Supreme Lord, then things happen according to the will of the Supreme Lord, and our calculation may be otherwise, but the will of the Supreme Lord prevails. And that's what a reversal is. It looks like something that shouldn't happen by our calculation. And that can happen in Vaikuntha. From our perspective, these kind of things shouldn't happen. Jai and Vijay had prayed to the Supreme Lord, he'd like to serve you in this way, and all of those other things. Anything else? Yeah.
He just told about that when the faith is weak, it becomes very difficult to understand or even contemplate something like saying there's a bigger plan or higher purpose to what have happened.
It's true.
Because even taking myself an example, I to understand something as big as that, it's not satisfying enough to just give an example saying that okay, this has happened to you because there's a bigger purpose. Or so how do I go about building that faith or increasing that faith? Saying that, like, okay, Krishna has a bigger plan for me, this is happening for some.
Well, here are several things. When it's in relation to yourself, there's a statement. Krishna never puts one into a situation or gives one, puts one into a situation or gives one a service that is too much to handle, although it may look like it's too much to handle. Krishna never, because that is to say, he gives resources. You know, what's a calamity for you is peanuts for some great personality. What's calamity for great personality would crush you. So he doesn't put you in the crushing situations, he may put in challenging ones. Isn't how to develop the faith is your question by associating with those that have strong faith. You associate with fire, you get warm. Associate with those that have faith, you get faith. And that means their capacity when something arises that is not clear, they may help make it clear. Or at least they may help make you faithful to be patient until it becomes clear. Another how to develop faith is acting in knowledge. Those things that you do understand, you apply those things that you do understand and you get a realization. Realization strengthens faith. It may not be over in this area, but it's over in this area. And faith becomes strengthened, and so then that increased faith takes one to go back to the source of wisdom, the scripture or teachings, and hear again, and something else resonates, makes sense, and you go and apply it, and you get a realization, and you increase faith like that gradually. May not be in an area that's particularly like confusing or problematic, but perhaps in other areas, and gradually. So acting in knowledge, associating with persons with faith, engaging in the primary activities, as in hearing and chanting, so that the creeper of devotion grows, and in that more mature stage, things that I can't understand today could be understood when that more mature stage comes. And that's both a position of faith, but it's also a position of experience, which tells me, by inference, those things that are still beyond me, that day may come when I may be able to understand those things properly too. But at least in this position, let me work with what is foundational and is very clear. The whole, just one last thing, the whole of bhakti, frankly, as with the whole of life, it's in the unfolding of faith. Like we were discussing this in the car about people that have faith according to the modes of nature. The faith that somebody has today didn't just fall out of the sky today. It's the result of a long period of evolving to a particular point of whatever that faith is. And future events are also going to either further solidify or even redirect that faith according to circumstances that we encounter, and etc. That's life. Toyota cars, you know, they have the system that if you don't put on the seatbelt, it reminds you, that dinging sound. And the dinging sound, the message is, it's dangerous to be in a car. But we get in the car and put on the seatbelt, knowing it's dangerous. Again, and, you know, the same routine with the aircraft. All over the world, it's the same routine. You know, the oxygen mask and the seatbelt and the evacuation slide and, you know, you're getting in a dangerous situation. We keep doing it. You know, and then sometimes something happens. People go, oh, how unfortunate something happened. But it's, you know, it's dangerous. the place where we are is dangerous. Whether you're in a car or in an airplane, it's according to Prahlad Maharaj, the place is dangerous. So how do you function with faith in a place that's dangerous? You take precautions, and you know that something may happen even if you take precautions, and ultimately we're dependent upon something. Now, where do I repose my faith? What's that something? That's even if the calamity does come, there's some safety. So this is where an element of reason comes along with faith. Where do I repose my faith? We make choices. You know, consciously or not, we make choices of where we repose our faith. So, there's no way around it. Meaning, oh, I don't want to place my faith. That's a faith choice. And they're going to repose their faith somewhere else instead of over here or over there, or whatever that is. In themselves, in their mind, or nothing, or frustration, or, you know, but they're making choices where to repose their faith. So, carefully, you or each individual should consider, with reason, where is the place of safety in a place that's not safe? What am I? And I have some choices. You consider very carefully, and then you take a step and see what happens in that direction, and then maybe another step. Maybe I'm not going there, I'm going over there. Like this question at MIT, making choices. And we do that all the time, anyway, about so many things, about life. You know, your academic plan and the career plan and, you know, life. Which path do I take? I feel more confidence in this over here, and it resonates with me than that over there. So, on transcendental matters, it's not so dissimilar. And then there's this message from transcendental life that says, Krishna's God. And to understand Krishna, you need to engage in his devotional service. To engage properly in his devotional service, he says it in the fourth chapter. You need somebody to guide you to engage in devotional service properly. Because that's his plan. It's his arrangement. Okay, yeah, but I've, you know, been misled by so many people. I don't trust so easily. It's okay. The principle doesn't change. And then you're examining, according to reason and faith, is this the right repose? Is that like that? We do that. And then you take a little step and see. And we evaluate the experience in light of the scripture. Not just, it's everything is subjective. There's objective standards within scripture. So it's part of the responsibility of the person on the path of increasing faith. The whole of bhakti, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, quote, can be described as an evolution of faith from very principle, very basic faith. There must be something up to love of God. It's different stages of faith. And I was just reading and hearing this morning that in Sri Brahma Samhita, second to the last verse, Lord Krishna says to Brahma, your realizations will be according to your faith. Which is what you just said at the beginning. My capacity to realize things depends upon my faith. Even, you know, so there's three people next to one another experiencing the same thing, and their experience will be different depending upon their faith of the same thing. And I my position is what my position is. I'm not the other two people. I'm who I am. So now how do I make sure I'm headed in the right direction? Where do I repose my faith? So those are some, and strengthen it. Those are some considerations. Okay, 8 o'clock. Bell's ringing. You want something? Okay. Prabhupada, good day.